The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, so many people were crowding together that they were trampling one another underfoot. Jesus began to speak, first to his disciples. "Beware of the leaven, that is, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the darkness will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but after that can do no more. I shall show you whom to fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 small coins? Yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I'll tell you about our saints for today, because, you know, I've been telling you about saints all week long, and why stop now, okay? So our saints for today, Saints John de Brebeuf, Isaac Jogues, and their companions. They're known as the North American Martyrs. And sometimes they're known as the Canadian Martyrs. And these were 6 Jesuit priests and 2 lay brothers from France who came to labor among the Huron, the Iroquois, and the Mohawk Indians in the 1630s and the 1640s in what was then known as New France and what is today known as Quebec and upstate New York. You know, they say the spirit of a missionary priest is to go where you're not welcome and where you're not wanted, where you're not loved and where you're not understood. And I can tell, I don't know any saint who better fits that description than the saints whose feast day we celebrate today. So Isaac Jogues and John de Brebeuf, they could have lived the most comfortable lives back in France, teaching in university, but they chose to go to the New World, which was the wild unknown. And they went first to the French settlement in Quebec, and from there they went down to labor among the Huron Indians, and they tried to integrate themselves into the tribe so they could share the gospel with them. And what hard work it was. You know, the first thing they had to do was learn their language. And, you know, they say the Huron language, they not only do they not have any written script they can use to study, but they said that when they spoke, they didn't move their lips very much. And so their language sounded like a series of monosyllabic grunts. And they tried to learn their language. And in addition, the Huron language didn't have any words for abstract concepts, only for concrete things like wind and water and wood and fire and rain and snow. So you can try to imagine learning their language and trying to share with these people things like the Trinity and things like the Eucharist and things like the Incarnation, all in using only physical objects to describe them. And this is very, very difficult. And they tried to integrate themselves into the tribe so they could become one of them. And they lived in the Huron longhouses. Now try to imagine this, an entire tribe full of people all living under one roof. The air thick with smoke from smoldering fires and every imaginable bodily odor. And they say that when you walked into these longhouses, the first thing they did, they walked out and they vomited from the smell. They had to get used to it. And they tried their best to go on hunts with the people. And, you know, sometimes they made friends with the people, particularly with the young people. They thought they were a lot of fun, always a smile, always a joke. But others in the tribe, they never relaxed their suspicion of these foreigners who they called the Black Robes. St. John de Brebeuf baptized a tiny little infant baby and said, "Just for this child alone, I crossed the ocean so that one more soul could belong to the Lord." You never want to glamorize the Native Americans, right? They're no different from any other people who lived. And one of the things that was just the same is they were constantly at war with their neighbors. And the Huron were at war with the Mohawk. And that's how John de Brebeuf and Isaac Jogues got captured. There was a battle with the Mohawk and it didn't go their way. And they and many others of the Huron tribe were held prisoner for 13 months. And they endured every kind of barbarism at the hands of the Mohawks. They were prodded with sticks. They were beaten with rods. Isaac Jogues in particular suffered a terrible, terrible barbarism, cruelty, where one vindictive Mohawk chieftain gnawed off his fingers. And it was Dutch fur trappers who set them free, and Isaac Jogues went back to France. He was able to get away, where he was given special permission by Pope Urban VII to offer the Mass with mangled fingers. And the Pope said, "This man who shed his blood for Christ should not be prevented from offering at Christ's altar the body and the blood of Christ." And Isaac Jogues surprised all of his contemporaries in the Jesuit order because he asked to go back to France. He asked to go back to New France. And they said, "Why would you want to go back there after what's happened to you? Why would you want to go back among those savage people?" And Isaac Jogues said very simply, "Because I love them." It's the answer of a saint. And he went back to the New World and he began to labor once again among the Huron until one day a plague afflicted the tribe, and the crops that year failed, and the tide of public opinion turned against Isaac Jogues, and they blamed him, and he was killed by tomahawk on this day in the year 1646. And you've heard it said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Well, it's true. One of those young little babies that was baptized by Isaac Jogues grew up to become a holy woman and a canonized saint. We know her today as Saint Kateri Tekakwitha, the Lily of the Mohawks. Just goes to show that God brings good out of everything, even apparent failure. It would have been so easy for any of these heroic Jesuits from yesteryear to have retreated in fear and uncertainty. But our Lord tells us here in the Gospel not to be afraid. And you know what's something that we need to remember? The opposite of fear is not courage. The opposite of fear is faith. Because fear looks at the unknown and asks, "What's going to happen to me?" But faith looks to God and says, "Whatever happens, I want to do your will, and I know that you're watching out for me." That's the spirit we need to have. Because, you know, the more secularized the world becomes, the more all of us become like missionaries, whether we want to or not. Remember when I was a high school chaplain, I got together with my fellow high school chaplains, and one of them, priest of our diocese, said, "Never forget this, the less you're wanted, the more you're needed." And isn't that the truth for us today in the world in which we live? Let's have hearts full of faith and not full of fear, and go where the Lord wants in the spirit of the saints who've gone before us, and ask for their prayers to help us today. St. Isaac Jogues, John de Brebeuf, and their companions, pray for us.